Claude is a Labour member of the European Parliament, well, he is today anyway. And he's Vice President of the Socialist and Democratic Groups. But many of us here will know Claude because he's at big meetings, he's at small meetings, he's on the demos speaking, and he's, you know, he's integral and an ally of the anti-racist, anti-fascist movement in this country. But sometimes we forget that he's also one of the most prominent figures in the European Parliament for progress and standing up for our cause in Europe. So it's great delight that I asked Claude Barrès to speak. Claude.
I'm just sitting there getting more and more nervous because my son has been texted. I wasn't being rude on my phone while all these amazing speakers, Cornelia, Petros and others were speaking. It was my son was he's nine, was texting me from his mother's phone. He hasn't got a phone. And he keeps texting, have we left Europe yet? And I'm texting back to his mum saying, it's the European Union, not Europe. And I don't race or anything, but you know, he keeps saying, I hate Bozo, I hate Nigel Farage. That's all very well, but it's a, I keep saying it's a vote, you know, instead of democracy. But he's getting angry. He's a little North London boy, do you know what I'm saying? What can I say? He is very angry. Anyway, so that's getting really wound up. The other thing I was getting wound up about was, I love hearing Petros speak, and thank you for that introduction, Steve, because this is, we heard speakers talk about why we're here. This is about systems and ideology, as Gary said earlier. This is about an international struggle. And Petros mentioned something, he didn't really reveal how bad it was when he said it, because you've got speakers here who are speaking in their second language, just by the way. Can you imagine many of us going to international conferences and speaking wittily and passionately in like a second or third language? Some South Asian people here might be doing that again, I don't know, but yeah, it's pretty difficult. So Petros made a mistake, unusual for him, but he said that there's a new Greek commissioner who's a commissioner, and his title is the Commissioner for European Values. No, that would be quite good, actually. His title is Commissioner for the European Way of Life.
Yes.
Did you not know that? I mean, The Guardian did have an article about it, but I think everyone thought that was a mistake. It is quite cretinous and quite extraordinary. The European Commission in the 80s and 90s, in fact, was a kind of bulwark against member states who were doing the kinds of things that Petros mentioned, the things that have led to this, the Balkan route, led to the EU-Turkey agreement, led to many of the difficult and painful things that are happening in the Mediterranean. I was in Libya recently. I was in the detention camp in Libya. Many of these things that are happening with the participation of our country, of France, of other countries, are deeply painful. But remember, this is a continuum. And on this instance, where you get to the point where the Commission, which was always quite kind of liberal in inverted commas in this area, can have a commissioner with this title. And by the way, I met Margaret Thiskevitis, a country person of Petros, he's Greek. And I said to him, are you genuinely going into this commission hearing, he was in the commission hearings, with this title? This is like a Nazi title. This is like something out of the 1930s. He said, no, I don't like it. You know, I'd like to dump it, but I'm going to go into it. I said, do you understand how this sounds? Like, I'm European, and what is the European way of life? And who is it you're going to protect Europe from? And one of the things I said to him was, you have to understand, and this is relevant to this conference and why I'm glad that this conference has been called an international conference against racism. Whatever happens today, whether we're in or out of the EU, in this sense it doesn't matter, because the issue for him is this. You have a title like this when every country, and as we heard from Gary and others, every Western country is affected by something quite profound. when you talk about Brexit, and the reason my nine-year-old is so convulsed when he goes to school and he hears the things that he hears, is that underpinning all of this is a fear of racism of the other. And there's a thing in Europe called the Great Replacement. The idea that white people are being replaced by black people. And everything I do on immigration, when I visited the Moria camp, there was a terrible fire just recently, all the suffering that's going on, and indeed all the heroic people that Petros mentioned, and you don't see this in the press, all the heroic European people that help these refugees day in, day out, whether it's in Calais, whether it's in the Moria camp, they're out there helping people like there are in this hall today. The problem is this ideology of the Great Replacement is very potent, and it is deep now in the psyche of the West, not just in Europe or the European Union, but across the United States. And we have politicians who, as Gary so eloquently said, are not dog whistling like we had in the old days, but are wolf whistling it. And this is a big struggle for us. We shouldn't be caught up in the semantics of it is the EU or not the EU. It's an international and internationalist struggle. And I want to end on this positive note, because I think everyone has really set out what that struggle is. There are ways to fight back. Outside is a poster of Viktor Orban, and I met him as well. And you know, when you meet him individually, he's just a cunning, Machiavellian, nasty piece of work. I don't even know if he believes. Sorry, I'm just being honest today. But you know what I mean. He is manipulative. He's manipulating his country to hate the other. And he is projecting that because he's in the European Union and other countries. But something happened. Something happened in the last hours. In his own city, a progressive young mayor, a green socialist mayor, won. Colleagues and our Green colleagues could report in Poland next door, despite the convulsions there. We've got all sorts of gains from the Greens and progressives and socialists in Poland. It is entirely possible to fight back. It is entirely possible to push back even the deepest problems, but they are deep. And I'll give you this example to finally finish, that in Austria, this is how the right operates. Sebastian Kurz won, and he said, oh, don't worry, we're quite stable now. This is Austria, where they said the far right are on the retreat because the centre right are back. Now, they just sucked the life out of the far right, put it back into the centre right, and just let it sleep there for a little while, just to unleash it on people afterwards. This is the story of the West, the story of populists. Integrate the far right, unleash it on people when you need to, because it's about people scaring our people, not giving them, as Gary said, their entitlement to what they need, health, a decent standard of living, and all the things that they should believe they need. I remember I came back from India in the 1970s as a child, and I remember thinking, I don't deserve anything, because I saw a poor country and I don't deserve anything in this country. This is racism at work. I felt inferior. But we should not feel like this. Entitlement is about understanding that this is an international struggle, and we should feel worthy because we should understand our ideology of being progressive, of being socialist, of being having equality of opportunity, and understanding that racists want to break this down. And in Austria today, they pushed it back. But the people that are operating online with the Great Replacement have real power, because those people ensured that government stopped the Global Compact on Migration at the United Nations. They have real power. And they're operating on the internet, and they have the ability. So everyone who has spoken today, use that word international, whether it's people suffering in the Moria refugee camp, whether it's people who are crossing the Mediterranean, whether it's people who are helping refugees in Calais against all the attacks from the tabloid press in this country, all of them are heroes. You're heroes. No pasaran. Thank you for being here.
comment. Now, we're going to have three more speakers who are really bringing it back home. We've had fantastic international speakers, but now three speakers from home. Could Al from the Climate Network come to stage one more? But first of all, some points about funding. Fighting racism and fascism doesn't come cheap. Far too often the left is reticent about raising money and giving money. And we've got to stop that. Our opposition of our funding, we know that the network across Europe has been funding to a fantastic extent. Every demonstration they have, if you remember the ones in Whitehall, 1,500 people, but tens of thousands spent on the street. And we've got to do something about that. We've got to raise the money so that we can fight back properly. Now, can I just ask you, before you put your money in, how many of you here have got credit cards and contactless cards? Hands up if you've got a credit card or a contactless card. Almost everybody, isn't it? You've all got your cards. Now, the bad news is, we can't afford the technology yet. We will do. We get the little machines to take the money off. But the good news is, the really good news is, you don't need any money to go home because you've got your cards. So what I'm asking you to do, look around. We can raise £10,000 here today if that collection is silent. If you dig deep, get £20 notes, put £20 notes in, put £10 notes in. That's a way we can fund our next demonstration on March 21st that we need to organise. We can't do that without your money, but we need 20, we need 10. And nobody from outside London can say this. You might be planning to have a drink. Don't. It's far too expensive. Give the money to stand up for racism instead. So, empty your pocket. Empty your wallet. You know it makes sense. So the next time we can have a decent amplification system on our demos, we can have decent stages, we can spend plenty of money organising it. Without your money we can't, so we need it. Give generously. While money goes, let me just remind you that. March. Thank you. Okay. And the inspiration came from a conference that Kierke organised several years ago, Raymond and myself, and that's where this international world came. Well, we now are having those international demos. The last one was fantastic. It's a real celebration of our diversity and determination of our race. We need to organise it in the as well. Can I still go on? What I want you all to do now, somebody to take the photo, I want you all to hold up your hands.
Hold up your hands.
Hold up your hands.
Hold
up your hands. So let's get the word out there. Hold up the posters, please.
Hold up the posters. And we know the ones who aren't doing it because they can't find it. Okay?
Yeah.
Say it loud! Say it clear!
Refugees are welcome here!
Say it loud! Say it clear!
Refugees are welcome here!
Say it loud!
Say it clear! Refugees are welcome here!
Remind you all, it's also really important you join Stand Up To Racism to keep us going on an ongoing basis. There's a Stand Up To Racism workplace and trade union conference in early February. Keep your eyes out for that and please come. We've got our educational trip to Auschwitz. It's happening in November. It's full this year, but please get in touch about next year's trip and help publicise it. It's really important. Also, note that November is Islamophobia Awareness Month. See the website islamophobiaawareness.org for the event and how you can participate and support it. We'll be, if there's a general election campaign or when the general election campaign starts, will be organising to keep racism out of that campaign. So participate in that campaign as soon as you can. And also note the Care for Calais winter appeal will be taking place in December.